2 Chronicles 26 through 28. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king lay down with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, in accordance with everything that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him successful. Now he went out and fought against the Philistines, and broke down the walls of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, and against the Arabians who lived in Gur-Baal, and the Meunites. The Ammonites gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, the valley gate, and at the corner buttress, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the wilderness and carved out many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, recorded by Jeiel the scribe and Messiah the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of the heads of the households of valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made machines of war invented by skillful workmen to be on the towers and the corners, for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. So his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud, he acted corruptly. And he was untrue to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been untrue, and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead, in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they quickly removed him from there. And he himself also hurried to get out because the Lord had stricken him. King Uzziah had leprosy to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, afflicted as he was with leprosy, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And his son Jotham was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, has written. So Uzziah lay down with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave which belonged to the kings. For they said, "He had leprosy," and his son Jotham became king in his place. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, However, he did not enter the temple of the Lord, but the people continued acting corruptly. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, and he built the wall of Ophel extensively. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah, and he built fortresses and towers on the wooded hills. He fought with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed over them, so that during that year the Ammonites gave him 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The Ammonites also paid him this amount in the second year and in the third. So Jotham became powerful because he directed his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham, all his wars and his ways, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. And Jotham lay down with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became king in his place. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He also made cast metal images for the Baals. Furthermore, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and burned his sons in fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Therefore the Lord his God handed him over to the king of Aram, and they defeated him and carried from him a great number of captives, and brought them to Damascus. And he was also handed over to the king of Israel, who struck him heavily with casualties. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all valiant men, because they had abandoned the Lord God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, Azrikam, the ruler of the house, and Elkanah, the second to the king. The son of Israel led away captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters, and they also took a great deal of spoils from them, and brought the spoils to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out to meet the army which came to Samaria, and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he has handed them over to you, and you have killed them in a rage which has even reached heaven. Now you are proposing to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem as male and female slaves for yourselves. Are you not, however, guilty yourselves of offenses against the Lord your God? Now then, listen to me, and return the captives whom you captured from your brothers, for the burning anger of the Lord is against you." Then some of the leading men of the sons of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Barashiah the son of Meshilamoth, Jehizkiah the son of Shalum, and Amasa the son of Hadlai, rose up against those who were coming from the battle, and said to them, "You must not bring the captives in here, for you are proposing to bring guilt upon us before the Lord, adding to our sins and our guilt. For our guilt is great, and his burning anger is against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoils before the officers and all the assembly. Then the men who were designated by name got up, took the captives, and they clothed all their naked people from the spoils. They gave them clothes and sandals, fed them and gave them drink, anointed them with oil, led all their feeble ones on donkeys, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brothers. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time, King Ahaz sent word to the kings of Assyria for help, for the Edomites had come again and attacked Judah, and led away captives. The Philistines had also invaded the cities of the lowland, and of the Negev, of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Aijalon, Jeteroth, and Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they had settled there. For the Lord had humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had brought about lack of restraint in Judah, and was very unfaithful to the Lord. So Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came against him, and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Although Ahaz took a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the palace of the king and of the princes, and gave it to the king of Assyria, it did not help him. Now during the time of his distress, the same king Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, who had defeated him, and said, "Because the gods of the kings of Aram helped them, I will sacrifice to them so that they may help me." But they became the downfall of him and all Israel. Moreover, when Ahaz gathered together all the utensils of the house of God, he cut the utensils of the house of God in pieces, and he closed the doors of the house of the Lord, and made altars for himself in every corner of Jerusalem. In every city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods, and provoked the Lord, the God of his fathers, to anger. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways, from the first to the last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz lay down with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, in Jerusalem, for they did not bring him to the tombs of the kings of Israel. And his son Hezekiah reigned in his place. Mark 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair, and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey, and he was preaching, saying, "After me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to bend down and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit brought him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were serving him. Now, after John was taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will have you become fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and went away to follow him. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and began to teach, and they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do you have with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." After throwing him into convulsions, and crying out with a loud voice, the unclean spirit came out of him, and they were all amazed. So they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately, the news about him spread everywhere into the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately, after they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and they immediately spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she served them. Now when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place, and prayed there for a time. Simon and his companions eagerly searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let's go somewhere else to the towns nearby, so that I may also preach there, for this is why I came." And he went into their synagogues, preaching throughout Galilee, and casting out the demons. And a man with leprosy came to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling down, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the news around, to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Acts 23. Now, looking intently at the council, Paul said, "Brothers, I have lived my life with an entirely good conscience before God up to this day. But the high priest Ananias commanded those standing beside him to strike him on the mouth." Then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit to try me according to the law, and in violation of the law, order me to be struck?" But those present said, "Are you insulting God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I was not aware, brothers, that he is a high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" But Paul, perceiving that one group were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, began crying out in the council, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dissension occurred between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. And a great uproar occurred, and some of the scribes of the Pharisaic party stood up and started arguing heatedly, saying, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." And when a great dissension occurred, the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them. And he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force, and bring him into the barracks. But on the following night the Lord stood near him, and said, "Be courageous, for as you have testified to the truth about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." When it was day, the Jews formed a conspiracy, and put themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who formed this plot. They came to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have put ourselves under an oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. Now, therefore, You and the council notify the commander to bring him down to you, as though you were going to investigate his case more thoroughly. And as for us, we are ready to kill him before he comes near the place. But the son of Paul's sister heard about their ambush, and he came and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions to himself and said, "Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to report to him." So he took him and led him to the commander, and said, "Paul the prisoner called me over to him, and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took him by the hand, and stepping aside, began to inquire of him privately, "What is it that you have to report to me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down tomorrow to the council, as though they were going to inquire somewhat more thoroughly about him. So do not listen to them, for more than 40 of them are in hiding to ambush him, and these men have put themselves under an oath not to eat or drink until they kill him, and now they are ready and waiting for assurance from you." Then the commander let the young man go, instructing him, "Tell no one that you have notified me of these things." And he called to him two of the centurions and said, "Get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour of the night to proceed to Caesarea, with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. They were also to provide mounts to put Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor." And he wrote a letter with the following content: "Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. When this man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them, I came up to them with the troops and rescued him, after learning that he was a Roman, and wanting to ascertain the basis for the charges they were bringing against him, I brought him down to their council, and I found that he was being accused regarding questions in their law, but was not charged with anything deserving death or imprisonment. When I was informed that there would be a plot against the man, I sent him to you at once, also instructing his accusers to bring charges against him before you. So the soldiers, in accordance with their orders, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. But on the next day, they let the horsemen go on with him, and they returned to the barracks. Now these horsemen had come to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor. They also presented Paul to him. Now when he had read it, he also asked from what province Paul was. And when he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, 'I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive as well,' giving orders for Paul to be kept in Herod's praetorium." Proverbs 11:11 through 21. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. One who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a person of understanding keeps silent. One who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, but one who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in an abundance of counselors there is victory. One who is a guarantor for a stranger will certainly suffer for it, but one who hates being a guarantor is secure. A gracious woman attains honor, and ruthless men attain riches. A merciful person does himself good, but the cruel person does himself harm. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a true reward. One who is steadfast in righteousness attains life, but one who pursues evil attains his own death. The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are his delight. Be assured, the evil person will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be rescued. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers. who may ascend onto the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place, one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to deceit, and has not sworn deceitfully. He will receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, and lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.